Okay, sorry, I thought there was going to be a jingle like the first time.
Hang on.
There will be.
Four photographers, four wildly different perspectives, one shared obsession. Funny, heartfelt, and deeply human. Welcome to the Hyperfocused Podcast. It's Mark Creedman with Anthony Parker, Darren Christopher Moss, and Benny Anderson. And I thought tonight it would be appropriate to kick things off by throwing over to Anthony Parker, since he was the guy who actually suggested this whole heap of fun that has been 45 minutes in the making this evening so far, or perhaps longer. But I'm sure it will all be worth it, and you will find something funny, deeply moving, or possibly interesting. So go ahead, Anthony.
Thank you, Mark. And hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us today on the Hyperfocus Podcast. Yeah, we're looking forward to having a chat amongst ourselves, and hopefully you will find that interesting. We're going to talk about some photography. We're going to talk about gear, talk about anything pretty much. And thanks for joining us.
I'm really sorry. I'm eating the spring roll. Okay, my name's Darren, and we're going to run through different segments. And basically, yeah, we're going to have a chat. We're going to have some muses, maybe a few funny stories, maybe talk about gear, talk about our experiences as different, you know, we've got different genres in our photography setup. And yeah, we're going to have some guests on at some point in the future. So, Mark, do you want to sort of start the ball rolling with
Sure. Robert? So I think just to be completely candid with the aims of the podcast, I think at this point, there's a lot of different segments that we could try, and this first episode will be an attempt to work out which of those works best, both for ourselves and for our listeners. I know that in the 2 weeks leading up for this, Darren has been throwing a lot of different possibilities out there, and sorry, Benny.
What we haven't mentioned either is, hello, my name's Benny. Great first episode. Thank you, Mark. No one passed the baton on to me, but yes, I like to shoot street photography, and I'm the youngest, and I don't like talking. But I thought I should be part of the introduction, especially since this is the first episode and no one knows who the heck we are. Now you do. My name's Benny. There we go. That's my voice. Hello, guys.
I think Benny's probably, I mean, even though Anthony's voice is pretty good, I think Benny's probably got the best radio voice. Mark's very clean and very virginal. Mine's just feral, sort of council house. And Anthony's is, you've got quite a good voice as well.
I've done a few voiceovers.
16-year-old boy in a 52-year-old's body, I reckon. As we were saying before.
New movie.
So let's talk about, I tell you what.
Let's talk about cameras. Mark, okay, you can't over him.
Yeah, we'll start it off with what anyone did today in terms of photography or yesterday or maybe the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm, good idea.
So I got up and I went to Kumbaba Conservation Park, and I went and photographed the lovely kangaroos. And there was a nice layer of mist, which burnt off in about 3 seconds. So I was disappointed about that. but it was nice, actually. I found a few trails that I hadn't been down before. And also I run into a couple of togs and had some, you know, the sort of obligatory conversation about gear and everything else. And I met a person there that they had superlatives coming out of their mouths for their photography at every gasp. And they were, you know, they're wonderful according to them. But yeah, that was a good experience. I took 100 to 400 on an Olympus body, so that was a pretty good experience. What about you, Mark? What did you do?
I think me and Benny's story is going to be pretty similar, because we've been running around doing a bit of street photography for the last couple of days. We started trying to get back into it last weekend, and good light. Very limited sort of hunting ground that is Surfers Paradise on the Gold Coast, but we think it's always rich with opportunity despite the limited actual geographical space. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of attitude most of the time as to what you get when you go down there. And I think last weekend we had so much more energy, and we were really switched on and getting into the zone, whereas...
Yeah, you did mention that. It's like a mental thing as well to get into street photography, where like, I guess if you're doing sunrise, it's not all mental. It's just like if you're physically ready. Mm. But street photography, you can walk around for ages and all of a sudden it's... post the photo. All of a sudden it's, you know, your mind isn't on track. You physically feel, like that's what I said to Mark. I said, I physically feel here, but mentally I don't feel inspired by anything to shoot.
Mm.
So that's kind of what we ran into yesterday. We walked around in circles for about 5 hours. And I mean, I probably got about 100 photos that I edited, but I probably ended up with about 10 okay-ish photos.
Mm. That's a good, really good point, because, you know, obviously to improve and get better, you've got to get out there and shoot a lot. But the downside of that is sometimes you can just, and it might not be for any particular reason, you just don't feel inspired that day, and you're kind of, you know, and it does take energy to get your vibe on.
Yeah, well, like the weather was really good, the sun was good, there's a lot of energy, kind of, but sometimes you can just feel the energy is good and you're like, oh, and then you feel that energy, it goes into your body and you start shooting like crazy. But yeah, the sun was good, but we just, compared to last week, which we had the same sort of sunlight, it was just, it was like a 30-minute spot there where we couldn't stop. It was just so good. It was just go, go, go.
One of the things I thought when I saw Mark's photos, Mark posted up some of his photos from today, I think it was. Is it today? Yesterday. Yesterday.
Oh, well, it was from yesterday.
Yesterday. And given the fact that he'd spoken about, you know, like he did posted a little video of himself before saying that they were going to Surfers Paradise and they were going to, you know, do some shooting. And he was very flat and he didn't, you know, you could pick up on the vibe straight away. But when he posted his photos, I thought some of his photos were great. I don't know how, you know, maybe for him, I mean, but for you, what did that feel like for you?
That's what he was talking about too.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Well, this is a very interesting thing with street photography specifically, I find. Obviously, as we said, we all come from different photographic backgrounds with slightly different interests, and our attitudes sort of, varies respectively based on those disciplines. But with street photography, it is, massively attitude-based, as Benny said. And so I think when we go out and the light is good, we might take fewer photos when we don't have the right attitude, but we will still take photos because inevitably we'll capture something that we are not particularly compelled to capture at that time. But when we go back to edit it in a couple of weeks' time, we might feel differently. So we get something just in case.
Well, that's what you said. You're like, oh, maybe I'm just taking photos that I'm not feeling now, but tomorrow I'm going to look at them and go, oh, that's pretty good. That's a good shot. But yeah, I felt like the same thing because last night I edited a whole heap and I've looked at them today and I've gone, oh, I've actually taken some pretty okay photos yesterday regarding, you know, how I was feeling and mentally, I guess.
Anthony.
Okay. Friday morning, I was out at Coomba as well with the Kangaroos shooting video for a project that I've been working on for the last couple of fortnights when I have Fridays off.
Did you have to do a talent pool with them or
no? I just
they were compliant.
They just do their thing. Some days they don't. Some days they do.
And, yeah.
On Friday they were very interactive and doing their thing very, very well.
Yeah.
Which was fun. So yeah, I did that on Friday, and then yesterday I was out at Mount Cotton shooting for Skid Control for the other job that I have on weekends. And captured close to 10,000 photos in the time that I was out there. So editing this week is going to be fun.
So is this a high burst sort of mode that you're shooting?
Yeah. 20 frames a second. And sometimes I'm only capturing like two or three as a car goes past. But I've tried shooting less when I'm out there and it just doesn't work.
Okay.
But I kind of get carried away when I start, because when I got there in the morning, we started an hour earlier than usual. The light was insane. There was heaps of water on the track. So you've got light shining through the trees, lighting up all this like puddles of water that the guys are ripping sideways through in all these cars. And even though they do probably 10 laps in each session that they're doing, I might sort of easily take 300 or 400 photos.
How do you feel mentally at the end of that? Because even, you know, once you've done the shoot, you know you have to edit those photos, and you know you're getting paid big bucks for these days. So how do you feel mentally after? I mean, that's a massive day, and obviously there'll be interludes, and you can, you know, get a breath, get a coffee, get a get a sausage. I don't know why that sounds funny, but to three other boys sitting on a sofa, it does. I'll say it again, sausage. So yeah, like you can get something to eat.
Yeah,
but how do you find? Because that's, I mean, to me, like, you know, when I've done weddings and things like that, they're very, they're not anywhere near as long as that, and they're so fatiguing.
Yeah.
When you're doing a paid gig and you're there for like eight, 10 hours, that is, do you find that it's wearing you out, or do you find that you're kind of?
There are moments when I do feel like that, and then knowing that I then have like a 40-minute ride down the motorway to get home is always a good time. And I guess you're using muscles and stuff that you wouldn't normally use in a normal day. So I kind of feel sore in places I didn't know I had.
I guess it's a good thing that it's winter as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Arriving there before the sun comes up is always good fun.
Yeah.
But, it is exhausting mentally and physically.
Ha ha, exhaust, get it?
Exhaust.
How long is that session of shooting though? Are you there for 2 hours, 3 hours?
I'm there. We have two sessions per day. So the drivers are usually on track. Well, yesterday it was about 8 o'clock. And they each get 4 runs at the track. There were 16 guys there, guys and girls. 16 cars. So they get 4 runs, two clockwise, 2 anti-clockwise throughout the day. And then we have a quick break for lunch, and then we have another 16 guys in the afternoon. And some sort of taper off in the end. They get to like 2 or 3 runs, and then they've had enough. Because physically for them, they're only on track for like 10 minutes, but they're wrestling a car sideways around the track.
Benny, sorry to cut you off, but that's my job.
Not a problem.
What do you think, like, you know, when you go out with Mark, Mark's wonderful. He's a beautiful human being. Your energy level, I think sometimes your energy levels are different, or maybe, I don't know if it's tolerance, but you know, like, you know where your capacity is, where you've had enough.
Oh yeah. I think we both can resonate where sometimes we both hit a limit and we both just look at each other and go, yeah, that's it. Let's go. Like, we're going home. But this is why I like going out with Mark, is if I'm not really feeling it, he's usually feeling it. So it's like,
what are you touching?
Oh, gee.
So he's feeling the... No. So it's like sometimes he's in a flow state and I'm not. Mm. And I'm like, well, I can't just go, I'm going home, because then that would ruin his flow state. And then it'll be the same thing with me. If I'm going good, he sticks around. And over time, we end up switching spots. Like, well, sometimes we do. I'll end up going, yep, I feel like I'm finished. And then he'll be in this flow state of just shoot. So I'll hang around. And sometimes we sync and we line up, and we're both like, last weekend when the sun was really good, we actually had one of our friends, Nathan. I don't know if you've met him before, but he does street photography as well. And he was with us for the first time. And we got to that corner there in Cavill Avenue, and I forgot what the other street is, where the tram station is. And it was just popping off. The light was popping off. There was people everywhere. And we went from all of us talking constantly to just complete silence, and we were all spread out different corners, just bang, 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 just snapping for 30 minutes. And then after that, we're like, well, the light's gone. I think we're done now. Like, and that was it. And we
Do you think that, you know, it's not to say that there's not characters there, because there is characters in Surfers Paradise. And there is things, you know, people doing things.
Yeah.
But sometimes it lacks that kind of nuanced, you know, those moments of difference where you're kind of like, oh, that's, you know, I've never seen that before and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you think that when it's like that, you are looking for the light and you are looking for other elements to sort of feel?
The light kind of, like, for example, last week where it was raining Or the week before. No, it was the week before. It was the week before when it was raining and it was overcast. So the thing about Surfers Paradise being a very touristy area, you kind of just go there for the beach. So if it's overcast, well, especially here, if it's overcast, we know it's just going to rain because normally it's pretty sunny. And already when you go out, there's less people. Less people means less opportunities, less characters to shoot. And then there's also the element of light being completely flat. So it's really hard to power on through those days because the light's flat and there's no interesting shadows or anything. And then there's no one out there.
Yeah.
So it's almost like those overcast
days. Two of the three elements are gone.
Yeah. So most of the time when we're out there, we could be out there for an hour and just be absolutely, there's nothing. There's no inspiration. We can be out for 2 hours, but I think we were out for 4 or 5 hours that day. And got almost nothing. I got a couple of actually nice shots because eventually it did rain. And the thing is, like, in summer, we had a day where when we went out there, it was sunny. And everyone, I think a lot of tourists were expecting it to stay sunny. Mm. But we could see, if we look down south, you could see this massive storm cloud heading over. And we're like, well, it's going to get interesting soon. And when it did open up, everyone was rushing. So it was absolute chaos. And that's what... And that's like the moments that you wait for.
Yeah.
But when it's cloudy from 6 a.m. in the morning, no one goes out to even be able to have, you won't have that chaos because no one's caught off guard basically. Because they're like, oh, they look at the sky and they go, oh, well, it's going to rain. So we won't go out today. We'll go out tomorrow. Where in summer that one day was just like, oh, it's sunny, let's go. And then, oh, look, it's just absolutely pissing it down.
It's interesting, isn't it? But Mark, what do you think about... like in terms of going out, we're kind of trained to not really, because of those things like light and the elements of things that are missing, and this might be for you as well, Anthony, but when, you know, you go out and you shoot in those conditions, and we're sort of taught to look for the best light and look for the characters and look for compositions and all that kind of stuff. But do you think, because you have to work so much harder to find something that's going to work, you know what I mean? Do you think it's sort of, it's actually a good thing because, you know, like if you're spoiled and you're in these perfect light conditions, loads of people are doing things and you've got lots of, you know, interesting subjects to focus on. Do you think that, you know, you still acquire some skills from going out on those hard days where, you know, you're scratching around and it's overcast and there's
patience.
I think it comes back to one of those really common famous sayings in photography, or at least one that I've heard quite a lot, which is that a not so good photo of something interesting is infinitely better than a really great photo of something that's not interesting.
Mm.
And so I think to get a photo of something really interesting, at least with street photography, you do simply have to be out there a lot. And inevitably you're going to be out there sometimes when the conditions aren't that great, but people don't, but do interesting things just on one kind of day.
No,
sometimes they do something really interesting on a day that the light is shit.
Yeah.
But if you get the photo of it and it's flat lighting, it could end up being your favorite photo of the year. Yeah, I felt guilty that I was relying on light because honestly, the 2 hours where I felt like I was getting nothing was when the light was just a bit average. And then as soon as the light got good, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm getting good photos. So then at the back of my mind, I had, oh, gee, we're just reverting to taking photos in decent light, which means that we're relying on light, not subject.
Yeah.
So
it's definitely a balancing act of like moments, the light, and just the type of characters that are out there. So, I mean, you could have average people doing funny moments. Let's say someone has a fight and it's, oh, that's interesting, but they're just average people. Or there's just one person that's dressed up. I know, like, that one guy I took photos of, he, like, had a whole Ferrari get up with a captain's hat on. And I was like, why are you wearing that out? And anyway, that chick with the, like, it's like a crocodile. What was it?
Was so weird.
Yeah, that was random. And that was... I think they were furries. If listeners don't know what furries are, just Google it. But then also the other element is light. So if you don't have those two things, you have the light. But sometimes if you're not in the mood, you're like, oh, I want to go out and capture moments. Or like you don't know that you feel that way. Your brain just is just tuned that way for that day for some reason.
Mm.
And you go out and you're like, oh, wow, look at that. Look at that. You know, there's God rays coming through and it's beaming onto a person in the street. And then, but then sometimes you take the photo and you're like, I'm not feeling that. But
Anthony, sorry, Mark.
I was going
to
say.
Anthony needs to talk.
I was going to say, though, like, I had two things, one for Anthony, one for you, Darren. And I'll go Darren first, just because this sort of is most immediately tied to what we were talking about. Doing kangaroos in Kumbabar with a one...
doing kangaroos.
Taking photos, shooting kangaroos in the wild.
It's purely consensual, I can assure you.
So, Darren, I know, like, sometimes he shoots with those longer lenses in conditions that are really not ideal for those lenses, obviously. And sometimes it, you know, it makes it technically very hard to get a photo that, you know, we're not obsessed. You're not obsessed with getting a clean image, but you still have like a certain cutoff.
Yeah.
Where you think like it needs to at least be this clean. How challenging was that day using a 100 to 400? Because we're in winter, the lights come out really late.
Really difficult. And particularly on an Olympus system where you've got that smaller sensor. So yeah, you know, you've got good stabilization in the cameras, but trying to, you know, you really have to, I mean, anything moving, you're screwed. Mm-hmm. Because you just can't acquire the you know, higher shutter speeds. But, you know, that I guess I don't think of that as the challenge, you know, but I know what I'm walking into. And, you know, you hope for good light. You hope that, you know, the clouds sort of move away. But I still think, you know, I'm here, even if I get some. It's sometimes those photos, I think, and when they're flat, or, you know, maybe not flat, but there's not much light in the photo, are actually, they're actually quite pleasant, you know, pleasant to the eye. I think sometimes we're too focused on having, you know, sort of almost a sensory overloading when we look at an image, because we're spoiled, aren't we? Constantly spoiled with photography.
Like it'd give you flexibility to do different color grades as well. Because if it's golden hour, it's really like, well, I have to accentuate the golden hour.
With that.
Or I have to pull back the yellows because it looks a bit too yellow.
Yeah.
But if it's flat, it's kind of like, oh, I can add yellow. Or,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can pop the greens up a little bit. Yeah, and, yeah.
Add saturation in certain spots. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But with cars, like, there's a...
There's so many metallic... I mean, how
I
do
know,
you...
I know, that's what I was thinking.
With cars, you want to get the colours right too.
You
the
kind of
location.
Want...
Location. I mean, it's as much as I would love to be able to shoot from the same spots all day... I mean, it's not a massive area where I am, but it's still, you're looking for where the light is the best. Like in the morning, the whole place is surrounded by trees. The track is surrounded by trees. So the light doesn't penetrate through the trees as much, which is good because you get like sort of light streaming through and then you've got the spray from the water going up and all that sort of stuff. So you're getting like these orange bursts of light through. Like, it's like if you go in the forest and there's smoke around. You get like the rays shining through the smoke. It's the same way with the...
You shouldn't go in the forest when there's smoke around,
no,
Anthony.
I know. I know that.
Not anyway. Unless you've got a bong or something.
Anyway, so I came up with an example here. And I know the listeners can't see this, but we'll put this on the Instagram at some point. But that was a shot that I took in the afternoon.
Cool.
It is blurry because the camera, my phone focused on the camera.
Yeah, so
not,
what I'm looking at, what I'm looking at is a car... skidding to the right, and it's skidding through a light light rays basically. So it's very sort of majestic.
Yeah.
The light is perfect. I mean, that's the kind of and it almost looks like aliens are coming to beam them up to do something.
And
to
that's
them.
And that's the thing. Like, I mean, I get there in the morning, and the first 2 hours is great, but then I've got another 2 hours of the morning session just capturing thousands more photos of the same stuff. And so, as you were saying, that I will be like adding more orange to make
the car's quite far away. So what focal length were you using? Were you
somewhere between 50 and 200?
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is that the longest focal length you have, 200 or is it?
I think it's 250 on it. Yeah. So
and
somewhere between.
On a crop sensor, so it's like 300.
Yeah. So up to roughly that.
Okay.
The thing that I find quite difficult with car photography is when you have the flat light and it's really nice for getting even exposure across the whole body of the car so that you yourself can control the levels and shift it up and down to accentuate the shape of the car just before the sun's come up, just after it's gone down. once it does come up, yeah, you can get some really great backlight, but as soon as it's got up that little bit higher, you start getting like really bright spots on the car because it's got a metallic body on and so on. Is that something that you can use creatively, or is that just purely
annoying? I get to that point and just change my location. So I'm not getting those harsh spots.
Well, the thing is,
what about ND filters and things like that? Is that doesn't do much? Sorry, Benny.
It does, but I usually just change the location. It's just easier to go where the light's not on them. And it also depends on how much water is on the track. And like I'll just look for the areas where the big puddles are, because as soon as they hit them, sliding through sideways, you get more water in the air and it just looks more dramatic.
And it's not spot lit when, like, in the evening, obviously it'd be spot lit and there'd be some sort of setup for that. Yep. But there's no other artificial light that's hitting the track.
So when they do run the night sessions, they've just got, I think, a set of lights in the middle, which sort of shine out to the perimeter of the track, so it's not great lighting, so it's a bit challenging to shoot there at night, but I haven't had that chance yet.
What do you think, Benny, about car photography? Because I've got about...
Well, that's literally why I started photography.
Oh, okay.
So, a little background, I pretty much come across a couple of YouTube videos. There's two people, Pierre T. Lambert, and North Borders. Now, those two, they both do street photography. And it's not the street photography I like now, but it definitely got me into it. So they're Sony shooters, so they like to zoom in on street photography, where now I like to go complete, like, really wide. But North Borders, he does car photography, and he shoots a lot of, like, cinematic-style edits. And with street photography itself, I parted ways with that editing. I was like, oh, I don't like it anymore, because it's so editing-heavy. That's why it's a good photo, because of the edit. But I stuck with him because of his car photography.
Right.
Because I really like how he shoots cars. And basically back then, I was taking photos of my friend's cars on my phone, sort of thing. And they would take photos and it was always shit, bad angles. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. So I was always kind of like, I had, I guess, the eye for it, just the angles of cars. Like stills, not like panning shots or anything, because obviously I didn't even have a camera, so I wouldn't know what that is. But when I first got a camera... the Canon M50, that's kind of what I started shooting, was cars. And I was like, I was in the little town in North Queensland, and I was like, hey guys, you got a nice car? I'll come and shoot it for you. And got a few paid jobs out of that. Now I look at those photos, I'm like, these photos are horrific. But
yeah, but it's relative, isn't it?
But that's kind of how I started doing it. And so I've always had a little soft spot for cars. And it's probably next week I'm going to All Ford Day. So that has like a big, like a Aussie Ford sort of thing. I don't know if it's like a cruise. I can't really remember what it is, but I'm not sure if I'm going to it yet, but that is an opportunity that I can go and shoot. But I've shot, you know, I've gone to, it's a track day, and I think it's Queensland Raceway. You bring your cars. I can't remember.
Wasn't there one that you always went to, which was just everyone literally gets their cars together and people walk around and look at each other's cars?
Yeah, there's a car meet. So it's like...
That's just a car park.
they're nicer cars than usual.
So there's these guys, because actually where I used to live in Southport, in the same building, a guy had the same car as me, but the turboed version and everything, and he had a modified car. And we actually parked on the same side, like, well, pretty close. And I remember he come in, it was like the first week I lived there.
Two first Skodas week. In the same place.
Skoda. Ford Falcon, for anyone. but I seen him, and I gave him a wave, and then he's like, oh, next week we got this thing. You want to come for a ride? And I was like, oh, I'll do photography, so I could, you know, probably take my camera. And then, so it was a group called Barra Outlaws, so everyone that owns a Barra motor. They're in this big sort of Facebook sort of group. And I went out there and I just, like, shot everyone's cars, and everyone loved it. And I went out a few times with him, because he's got the fast version of my car, and I'm like, well, I got boring version and I can't take photos while driving. So I might as well sit passo and take photos.
Like, unlike Mark.
I definitely tried that a few times.
What's an area of photography where you would be horrified to do, where you would feel the most uncomfortable?
Street photography.
Yeah.
Okay, but you're very new to it, Anthony. You know, you're like, it's still something that
you're... Well, I mean...
Yeah, don't be defensive.
But why? So expand, elaborate. Yeah.
I just don't enjoy it. I just don't.
You don't enjoy it?
No.
Why the fuck do you keep coming to Brisbane then?
I get to hang out with you morons.
There for the social aspect.
We're going to edit him out after that.
Yeah, he's completely gone.
He's gone.
He's scrapped from the podcast.
Take that beard and fuck off.
If you've seen my photos, there's not a lot of human interaction in them.
Yeah, okay. But that's what happens when you, like, you know, I think it's fair enough. I mean, you'll probably know what you like and what you don't like fairly early.
I don't
early.
Like street photography.
Yeah, yeah, and that makes sense. But also in the early part of it, you tend to have, you know, you're very shy. Well, you're shy. And it takes a level of, it's not necessarily bravery, but it takes a level of comfortability that you will fall into over time. And then you'll realize it's all about intent. You know, if you're going out there and your intent is to capture moments, and you can justify those moments if somebody's facing you, or if you don't get the opportunity to get consent or whatever. And it's just, you know, there's a candid moment. Whereas Mark will just take, you know, photos of people's nostrils on airplanes, you know, and he's like really brave, you know, like he's just, you know.
I think he's more ignorant than brave, to be fair.
Well, I think there's things about Mark that I admire greatly, and then there's things where I'm just like, what did you do that for?
I kind of just try to master the level of sneak. I just be sneaky. I have the strategy of like sweeping past people. And
well, I think that's a really good point. Sorry to cut you off, because I think it's really important that we talk about that. Is that, you know, our endeavor, our love for street photography or other, you know, other branches of photography as well, is coming from a genuine place. And it's not coming from a, you know, like the perception of sometimes photographers are sort of perceived as sleazy people and you know, sketchy or whatever. And I think, you know, yes, that's obviously because in the past there's been individuals that have acted in a way that is, you know, maybe not appropriate. But, you know, we do it because we just love the energy of people. We love the energy of what they're doing and the differences in characters, the vibrance of people's dress, how they, you know, even their posture and how they walk and you know, every little nuanced thing about it.
I like how you can make something out of absolutely nothing, essentially. Like, you go out there, like when I first...
Like origami.
Yeah, I guess. like a lot of people, I'm watching this documentary, I can't remember what it was, but like one guy, he's a street photographer now, but when he went to like some art exhibition, there was a big crowd around, I think it was a Joel Meyerowitz sort of gallery, and he was confused. He's like, oh, I could do this. He's like, why is everyone here? This is stupid. This is like, he's like, oh, there's all these other pieces of art here that are way better. Not just photos, but like different types of like sculptures, whatever. And he decided, I'm going to do it. So he got a camera, and within the first day he realized, oh, this is hard. So it's like, because he's like, well, and then he looked into Joel. Well, I can't remember who it was. It was a great. And he's seen some sort of interview, and the guy's like, oh, this is like a collection of stuff that I've shot for 25 years. So it's taken actually a really long time to find these little moments. And I think that's the fun part of it for me, is like the chase. Sometimes I'm like, oh, like I get fed up. If I have a really bad day, I'm like, why do I even do this? But then sometimes we get a day like last weekend, like Sunday. And I'm like, this is why I do it. Even though all the photos, maybe I'll take two of them, maybe I'll put two in a book or something. Yeah. Or maybe in 6 months' time, I won't like any of them. But that day specifically, how I felt taking those photos, I was like, oh, this is exactly what I live for. Like, this is so fun. Like, I could just not drink water for 6 hours and just keep shooting. And
With me, my anxiety goes up and down. So I have times when, you know, and sometimes I'll be cursing myself because I can't feel as comfortable as I have done in previous shoots.
I get that all the time.
And it's reflected in the output, you know, and the types of photos that I'm producing. Mark, what do you think about like when you first started doing street? Because I think originally you were doing wildlife and birds and things like that, weren't you? And you sort of transitioned over from old ladies' windows to street photography.
Combining this with what makes you uncomfortable or what you don't like to shoot.
Old ladies' windows.
I think, like, I've come at photography from a very similar trajectory to Anthony. I started doing photography just as a distraction. And so I was looking for things that were very serene, tranquil. It was about sort of composing a landscape or a man-made object in the landscape. Like, I was obsessed, as I think me and Benny both are, with James Pops' work, mm-hmm. getting like really nice human things in the landscape.
Human nature. Mm.
But doing photography that is very unobtrusive and so on. So originally, I really didn't like doing street at all. I was completely obsessed with taking photos of waterfalls, of my own car, because I'd never owned a car before, of my motorbike, because when I started photography, I was riding around on a motorbike. But then I strangely flipped over into street, despite not really liking it, because...
What was it, what didn't you like about it? I mean, what...
Just confrontation.
Is that the same for you, Anthony?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna ask, yeah. Like, is it a you don't like street photography photos or the physical part?
I think it's got a lot to do with your personality, though. I mean, yeah. Like, and not, you know, like, and Anthony's quite a, you know, he's not a confrontational type of person.
No.
And so I think, like, in order to adopt into that type of, do you think
that's absolutely true? Yeah. I mean, I enjoy looking at street photography images taken well.
Mm.
And the stuff that you guys do, I love it. But
thank you. Welcome.
I love your skin control stuff.
You can't see, but I've got my hand on Anthony's knee at the moment.
Get your hand off my boyfriend's knee.
Do you think that if you become, you know, if you practice, is it something that you're aware of in that sense that you're still prepared to give it a kind of a go.
I enjoy the occasional street photography mission.
Mm.
I'm not to say that that would become my main thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be the case.
Yeah.
But I definitely enjoy hanging out with you guys and shooting stuff. But if you look at my South Bank photos in particular, there's shots of the Wheel of Brisbane.
It's like architecture.
Every time.
That's all right, though.
There's the Star Casino. I mean, I was really happy with that shot I got of the Uber Eats delivery dude on the scooter going across the street up in front of the casino and stuff like that is cool. I'll get like cool look shots of like the bus, the reflection in the water, things like that. But capturing a person on the street, I probably won't do that. But I'm the kind of person that would take a photo and like,
would you like to
jump
do
in the
it,
Lightroom
though?
And rub
would,
the people
would you like
out
to,
so
would
I
you
can
like to
them.
Have the confidence to do that?
Not
though.
Really, no.
Okay. What about like if you just silhouette them or have them in just because I think with street photography, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be close to them or make sure.
Oh yeah, I mean occasionally I will take a shot with someone in it and I won't delete it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just.
But it's interesting because like at the start for me, it was very much a person walks into my shot. I'm like, oh, it's ruined the shot. Why did that person have to get in there? And then I had to brush them out. I had this phase where I was obsessed with focus stacking and I would shoot at...
At street photography?
I would shoot... No. Photography generally, doing landscape because...
It's the most boring fucking type of photography.
Okay, so like it almost became its own genre actually, focus stacked photography. God, because like at the start, like, you know, at the start we're all
the focus stacking podcast.
But you know when you first get a camera and there are those obvious things that a proper camera as we say supposedly does better than a phone, or that you can do with it you can't do with the phone, like there might be long exposures or panning shots or whatever. For me, a lot of it was the potential in editing with what you could do with stuff. So I became really obsessed. Like obviously, so all of us go through this HDR phase, taking brackets, HDR brackets, and then combining it. But I went through like a really strong focus stack stage where I'd like focus on the fence, I'd focus on the grass just past the fence, I'd focus on the cow, I'd focus on the tree line, and I'd focus
on
the
sky. Focus stack a cow?
Yeah, focus stack the cow in. Because I want to get the cow at the optimum aperture. I want to shoot the cow at f5.6, and I'd shoot the fence at f8, and I'd shoot the sky at like f3.5, and I'd combine them all together.
Would you have a nice picture of a cow?
No, not really. That This is the thing.
All I'd that have, effort for that.
This is the thing. I'd have
nice picture of the sky.
The massive irony about this whole process was that I ended up with a photo of pretty much nothing, even though everything was in focus.
So all that technical effort, yeah, which was quite admirable to be able to...
I don't think I've ever focused stack before.
Yeah, I've done it. I've done it a few times.
I don't care about it enough.
Yeah, but that it's quite admirable, that application and that dedication to try and get the perfect... You know, that was the pursuit, wasn't it? The pursuit of perfection, you know, to get this thing that's completely in focus.
What?
And then you just got this, like, this fucking cow pat of...
It's just like nothing.
Yeah. The only stacking kind of stuff I've done is never with focus. It's always with exposures. Like, I used to do real estate photography and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously you want to get the inside shot looking nice and you get the beautiful outside shot through the window that is usually blown out and crap and all that sort of stuff. So merging, like, five exposures together.
I think that brings up a good point, is that technicalities doesn't mean good photo. Like, having everything perfectly exposed or perfectly focused, perfect shutter speed, everything. That doesn't mean it's a good photo. Because I've seen people take, not to mention any names, but some photos of the beach at like Surfers Paradise, and they're perfectly exposed, wonderfully color graded. Well, I mean, not wonderfully color graded, just very commercially color graded, if that makes sense. Like, everything is optically perfect, but that makes the photo absolutely boring. Like,
yeah,
I'm thinking that someone on a tourism board's gonna go, yeah, we'll take that photo, and that's about it. But I wouldn't look at it as art. Offense to anyone, but irony, I would look at it as art.
Yeah, the irony of that being that is going to be the photo that will end up as an art print on a Meriton wall.
Yeah, that's the thing. But that's what makes you, like, I've never walked into a Meriton and gone, oh, that's a nice piece of, like, photo. I just think that's a photo. Like, I just walk past it.
I don't know if anyone else has stayed in Meriton and seen this same photo, but I have heard people... I've spoken to someone once before and they've had the same experience of walking into Meriton and seeing a photo of the Surfers Paradise sign, and the person has obviously taken the photo slightly off-centre, as in they've stood off-centre from the centre of the sign, and they also haven't framed the sign in the centre. So it's like... Yeah, okay, we don't want the photo to be perfect, but when we say imperfect, this isn't what we mean. It's like, you know, how sometimes photos are not right just because, you know, there are rules being broken, but people don't realise that they're breaking the rules. It's just not
like
right.
If you break the rules, you don't do it slightly because it ruins everything.
But we didn't ask Benny... what is something that, like, you just really don't like to photograph?
Oh, yeah. Too many.
That's really hard. Left out tonight. That's really hard for me because I do like to photograph a lot of things, but obviously street photography is probably the main thing.
One of your coolest photos I've ever seen, by the way, was that day that we went out in the cyclone.
Yeah.
And you got that couch on the beach.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, it's like street photography. That's probably technically not street photography, but... anything that's just out there, you know, is fun. Probably, okay, yeah, you guys will know this, sunrise. not because it's shit light, obviously. Yeah. It's the best light on planet Earth.
Is it just the time of day?
Oh, yeah, it's the time of day. Yeah. That's why I love street photography, because I could, Mark will know, I'll come nice and late at 12 p.m. and we'll shoot to the afternoon. And it's obviously, right now in winter, it's been a bit hard, we'll come to another point, I'll talk about it soon, but... the shadows kind of, they take over very quickly in the afternoon. And I'm wishing, I wish I got up earlier. But then also I'm like, no, I don't really care about that much. Like, I have to still be in the right mindset.
I feel viscerally depressed some days when I miss a really good sunrise.
Yeah. Well, the other thing about it is it's not just the sunrise. It's like, I feel like I take the same photo every time when I do sunrise, of the sun rising over the water. Oh my God, whoop-de-doo. Like, that's me. But sometimes I get... like, for example, when we went to Welly Point, I had a really good time there because there was people there. So I could mix two genres together. Yeah. I could do street, sunrise, and then, like, the, you know, a bit of a landscape, I guess. Well, it's three genres, I guess. And the fact that there was people there, well, it was for a separate project for a real estate group, but the fact that there was people there made me go out and just keep shooting, because I could find something. I'll have a moment, a nice moment or whatever, and also have a nice scene at the same time with nice lighting. But if I'm going out, I guess landscape photography in general, I don't really like to consume that much. Like James Popsis, as Mark mentioned before, I love his work, but not everyone does his type of style.
Yeah.
It's always like, look at this mountain in the sunlight. And for me, even this is probably going to be hypocritical because it's street photography, but it becomes a bit repetitive for me where it's like, oh, look, nice vista with light. That's crazy. Like,
that's one reason why I've switched to shooting landscapes with a telephoto lens.
Yeah.
And I just pick out details like those shots from last weekend when we were up at Mount Tamarine.
Mm.
I saw the big view that everybody gets.
Yeah.
It's like,
I guess landscape, like, and the thing is like how Anthony was talking about before, how he likes looking at street photography, but the act of doing it is like, I like looking at landscape photography. Most like I have niches that I like the James Popsis style. I don't want to mention it. It'll sound like a broken record, but I like that. But the act of doing it is not just getting up in the morning, but like you could hike up a mountain and then, oh, the light's shit. And you just, I feel like
we've had some good adventures,
Byron Bay at 3 a.m., Darren.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, that's the thing. You guys go on to Byron and you're like, well, this is shit. That's exactly why I hate it.
But we got to experience that shit moment with 30 other people.
It's still an adventure.
Yeah.
And we still, you know, we had a weird conversation with a gentleman there. And, you know, we saw some, you know, a few interesting characters. And some of the photos were, they weren't what we considered the trade-off of such a journey, you know. And I think sometimes that's how you feel. You know, you've got all these expectations and you're thinking like, looked at the weather, I'm really hoping it's going to go off and, you know, so on and so forth. But I think part of it is just that adventure. Like with me and Mark, when we went, wasn't it? Yeah, all right. Fuck your sandwich bag. So when me and Mark went to the Scenic Rim, and we went back there. So we went to this a harvest festival, it was, you know, it was really cool. It was, you know, loads of people and there was different things.
The other weekend.
Yeah. And then the day after, we went back, didn't we, to the Scenic Rim, and we were trying to sort of chase fog and mist and, you know, and the funny thing was that we had the fog and we had the mist and we had the sun, the sunlight, a good sunrise. But we couldn't find a vantage point. And so half of our, you know, we were frustrated, but it was still quite interesting, I thought.
It's like the morning we did macro.
Yeah.
We were at Mount Tamarine for sunrise and we drove around for an hour.
Yeah.
And then we went to the gardens and shot bees.
I think my other problem with landscape is I don't really know how to shoot it. Like, I know how to shoot it, but I can't, I don't know. With street photography, I can go, I'll piece this person there. Da, da, da. Like if I want a layer, for example. Yeah. But when I'm doing landscape, I'm like, I look at something and I'm like, I don't see anything in front of me.
Yeah, it's because it's fucking 12 o'clock midday.
When I go with you, like I see the thing and I'm like even when I watch YouTube videos, for example, and they go, oh, da, 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 look how this light's going. I'm like, I look at it. I'm like, oh, beautiful light. I don't know what I'll do with it.
Well, the kind of street stuff I love is like, if there might be say a light or something, like say if it's a shot at night. And
you said you didn't like street.
Anyway, back to Anthony.
I really picked up the looking at it.
Looking at it.
Someone might walk past a doorway or something, or there might be a tunnel and someone walks through it or something like that.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff, I try to capture.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Light's the main.
That's what I was saying. Like if you didn't like, you know, capturing people, you can use them as a small, just an anchor point for a whole different photo.
Like that shot of the casino with the dude on the scooter going past in amongst, like below the arch and stuff. And that kind of thing.
Yes.
Is cool.
But yeah, that's fun. Like Alan Shallow. I don't know if anyone.
Walking through the mall, Queen Street Mall there and seeing people, I'm like,
yeah, well, that's what I find.
There's a flower. Let's go and
photograph. Well, that style of photography I find very hard in Surfers Paradise, which is why I don't try and shoot that way.
Yeah,
this is, I feel like, because it's not really a grid. Like Gold Coast is not gridded. Like the streets aren't gridded. They're kind of just fucking all over the place. Higgledy, and then you have, higgledy. And yeah, so like in the
higgledy piggledy,
and the skyscrapers are all kind of staggered around, so you don't really get these pockets of light all that often. Oh, often
so
enough.
So annoying.
So sometimes when I try to shoot like that, if I'm feeling not as confident, like the other day where I was just like, I just didn't feel good to shoot in a close personal way. I go, okay, we'll try and do some light and shadow work. And then it's like, the light's good for it, but the light's also not hitting the right spots because it's just, it hits like, I think Surface Paradise is just really messy. Like architecturally, it's just all over the show because it's meant to be in your face and, oh, look, tourist, haha. Have a look at this. His Ripley's here. And
but it's messy, isn't it?
It's messy, yeah. Mm. So
everything's on that one strip of
Yeah, pretty layer. Much.
It's
yeah.
not
yeah.
condensed.
No, yeah. So it's like that one strip. And sometimes you go to, you walk like, I don't know, 5 minutes away from that, from Cavill Ave, and absolutely no one walks around that area, and you're waiting 20 minutes for one person to walk through something.
So, something just went into my head, which is completely random from what we're talking about, but I thought what it would be like to go and do street in America with Mark, okay, and you'd go over there and you'd be like in LA, but somewhere like LA, and you know, there'd be lots of different themes to photograph, but then I'd turn around and he would have fucked off and I would be like, where has he gone? And then I wouldn't see him for 5 years, and then I'd be walking through the woods doing some landscapes, and then there's Mark wearing a black gown with a fucking goat's head on his head.
Well, I mean, I am a fan of cosmic and folk horror, so
he's a metalhead too. So.
I don't know.
But I just think you'd get accosted and then end up joining a cult.
Well, there was one guy from photography the Gold Coast cult. Who went to New York. Like, it was like 3 years ago, a guy from the Gold Coast went to New York. I forget who it was. But then he like dropped off the map for 2 weeks. And I was like really worried about what had happened to him. Because he'd been taking those classic New York street photos with a bit of confrontation. Some of them very overt confrontation with someone putting their middle finger out at him and whatever. And he was obviously in some parts of New York, which were a bit rough around the edges.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Did he get good photos though? That's
he got thing. Some really good photos. Yeah. I was very, very jealous. And it made me want to go to Surfers and try and find the same stuff. But you just...
It's hard.
It's different.
It's hard.
But to sort of flip the conversation we were having before about what photography you absolutely hate doing or wouldn't do, I thought it's interesting how you can take something from a discipline that you don't like and just do that discipline for a while to try and learn something from it, and then you take that back into a discipline that you do like. Because since I've been doing street photography, it has completely changed the way I shoot everything else.
Yeah, so like weddings, for example.
Weddings,
events, like
sport, even
sport. Yeah, yeah. So with like events, like if I'm shooting a birthday, a party, or something, I'll be like, okay, whack the 28mm on and get really close and just bang, like flash people.
Yeah,
not that way.
But you get raw strobe light. It's like because
just
like,
the bride.
Because I was like super nervous doing photography originally, which is like why I started doing my first introduction of doing photography with people was going to Parkrun to take photos of people, because everyone's like nice and everyone's like, oh, I take my photo, whatever, it's no big deal. Because I started doing that was my first introduction to shooting people, and so that
with a camera.
Yeah, with a camera. But because of that, it made it harder to do something like street or journalism, because I was used to people wanting their photo taken.
Yeah.
So then when I did street, I learnt an entirely different way of shooting people, of finding an angle where it's candid, and then with the camera. Yep. And then showing them afterwards. So having done street, now when I go to Main Beach Parkrun, having done so much street, when I take photos there now, I feel weird doing it with a 200mm, doing it with a 70-200. Like,
because you're used to being close now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's hard to get the shots I want because there's always people getting in the way.
Mm. Well, speaking of changes, Mark tried flash street photography yesterday. Oh, yeah. Didn't really work though. He was using the X100V and he just bang. But it looks so weird to see it in person. Now, if you don't know, I don't shoot flash, guys, for street photography. And I do love how flash looks, but yeah, I'm not confident enough. I'm not at that point yet where I'm going
to
do it.
You've got to be pretty close to the subject.
I mean, it's quite abrupt and just shocking. Like, just bang, big flash. But when he shot his first shot, everyone just lit up, and I was like,
oh, God. Holy fuck. It's so funny because I think of myself as the lesser confident of us doing street photography, but I will have moments where I will have a just fuck it 15 minutes.
Where
I do not care about consequences.
Yeah. Fuck it 15.
Well, that was like last week when the sunlight was really good. I had that moment too. Yeah. And I was like up in people's face.
Yeah. And you'll be right in there and you won't give a crap partly because you're being blinded. It's sort of like how kids, when they can't see you, they think that you can't see them. And it was kind of like that with the sunlight blinding me and I was taking photos into the sun because I was being blinded. And I thought it was like suddenly okay to take photos from about 15 centimeters away, whereas I normally wouldn't do that.
Well, that's like that chick with this crocodile, or I don't know what it was, like a fox hat. I don't know what it was. It was weird.
Yeah, it was
she was standing...
crocodile hybrid.
Yeah, it was weird. But she was standing there and her two friends were there and I put the camera like in between her friends and went ding and then like, but it was really quick. It was like
was actually blah, blah. In
at what
the
point
scene.
Though do you think at what point do you think it's and this is an interesting topic as well, and we'll get through, we'll try and speed through our rotations, okay, so we can get Anthony in on it as well.
Yes,
yeah, because Anthony doesn't shoot
because you two are good speakers and
apparently we've figured out now that I am a good speaker.
Yeah,
welcome to the podcast.
I was like, I don't know if I can talk, but
at what point does it become from the perspective of the person being photographed, does it become invasive?
Flash is one.
Yeah,
not other people doing it. I'm fine with them doing it, but like I just couldn't physically do it myself. I would just be like, nah, I feel weird. If I'm shooting an event, like I said before, I'll do it in an event because they expect me to take photos, so I don't care about that. It's a whole different thing. But if I think about it as if I'm walking at the shops, if someone's were to take a random photo of me, I probably would have been like, oh, whatever. Like without photography, if I didn't have any photography knowledge. But if someone were to take a flash shot of me, I would be complete. Like some people might just go, yeah, whatever. But then I would probably think, well, why the fuck did he take a flat? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. But like when other people do it, I'm like, yeah, that's some good work. I like that. I love how it looks. Depending on if it's used, I don't know, like Bruce Gilden, for example. I don't know if everyone knows Bruce Gilden.
Yeah,
he's pretty up in your face flash. He's
very, very up in
your face. There's some photos I really like and there's some photos where I'm like, is it only in quote good because of flash? Or like, is there actually some substance here?
So I like his bravery. All right?
Yeah, I admire.
But
that.
I think that I don't like his morals.
Yeah, I think.
So it sounds a bit weird. Yeah, it sounds a bit weird to sort of have that as a duality. But
yeah.
I like the fact that he's courageous enough to try and get those unique photos that not many people are. Because it's like we spoke about a little while ago about the idea of, in order to improve. Do you have to be brave? You know, where does bravery come into your advancement as a photographer? You know, you can be like, okay, I'm going to balance on this fucking wall and you know what I mean? Like sometimes putting yourself in situations that unless you've had a skin full of alcohol, you probably wouldn't even be doing, you know, or you'll, you know, run through a bush with really high grass to get to you did it the other day when we were in the scenic room, Mark, and I wouldn't have done that, but Mark did, you know, Mark doesn't care about snakes.
There was that road that you and I walked down up on Mount Tamarine in the dark.
Looking for that, and the fucking road was missing.
We were looking for an easterly vantage point at Mount Tamarine, which there are very few, unless you know someone and you can get into their backyard. So we heard that there was one through a friend of Darren's. So we got out of the car and we walked up this trail. And then we walked down this trail that just sort of kept going and going and going. And at one point, there was this like bitumen sort of path, which was just gone. And it was like
just a big hole,
15 foot wide. And then suddenly it's about 3 foot wide. And there was a massive hole through the middle of the trail or through the middle of the road.
Yeah, right.
And it was just gone, being washed away by the... after the cyclone.
That's not that long ago then.
Massive landslide had come down the hill and just taken the road away. So we sort of sketchily walked around. We were just getting lower and lower, and we thought, well, the whole reason for going down the track was to get up high.
Yeah.
To get this beautiful vantage point. And now like we're down and we're looking at the map and we're just going further and further into the forest. And it's like
I went to I can't remember, Cabarita Beach or
Cabarita
or somewhere like that, with a friend of mine, a photography friend of mine called James, and he's kind of, you know, a little bit like Mark or whatever, where he's, you know, he's quite brave and he doesn't mind, kind of, he's focused on what he wants to get. And so we go down there, it's like, you know, sunrise hasn't happened, it's pitch black. And he starts walking through this grass, right? And it's like, you know, halfway up to your knee, way long enough to have brown snakes in it, right? And then he's gone down this kind of, he's just fucked off, you know, and I'm like, oh. And then there's me, who's too scared to go forwards and too scared to go back. Because I'm like, I want my mummy. I don't want to be left alone in the fucking dark. So I'm sort of chasing him, like in fear of doing both, you know.
Well, I just
want to get helicoptered out, you know. I'm just
call the Westpac helicopter, come pick me up. Yeah.
I'm just like, and then I'm just like, oh. And then, you know, it's just worth it in the sense. But again, is it bravery? Is it being too focused on what you want to do versus the danger?
Well, it's,
you know, because like the probability, and it was in summer, the probability that there will be brown snakes.
Yeah,
definitely.
And, you know, huge. Like I've got it in my head 100%. And maybe that's because I'm English, I don't know. But he was just, you know, trudging off. And I'm just like, yeah. I was like,
well, as someone from North Queensland, I would have been like, I am not getting near that grass.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I've seen these mother.
The sugar cane. Yeah,
so where is that line between, you know, not, I'm not saying James is stupid for doing what he did, because we both did it. And sometimes you have to step out of that and be, you know, go into that bravery. But is it brave or is it not? Is it not analysing things properly and put, you know, are you, is there a point to it? Are you putting yourself at risk when you don't really need to?
Well,
you know,
and
how
point.
Do you, you know, how do you advance your photography without that kind of level of bravery or naivety or whatever you want to call it?
Well, what was the result of the photos?
They were shit.
There you go.
No, I can't remember actually, and I think they were
okay. Well,
if you
can't remember it, then
must
then
be
it
shit.
Never happened. Yeah,
you're not like, oh, yeah. there's this.
But yeah, no, it was just an interesting thing, and I think we do that. You know, we often, you know, there's different levels of what you'll be brave with. But I think as photographers, you know, there will be a story from each of us, definitely a story of each of us. Maybe we can finish the podcast on those stories just quickly.
Yeah.
Because we all fucking talk for too long.
No, we are coming up to an hour or two.
Yeah. Is
over an hour.
Is when do you feel like you've put yourself at risk? So I'll start with my story of when I went with my German friend. We went to Springbrook on a like bushwalky photography thing, and he had a camera and he was like, I want to take some photo, you know, that's his accent.
Why's he start?
Because he was born in Wales. No. but he, yeah, so we went into some, you know, go and do some photography, and we're walking along this track, and I saw, you know, got hyper focused on the scene.
Hey,
there was
that's a podcast name.
Yeah,
it's like, it's like a movie when they have the movie title.
Yeah, no, thanks. I seen the scene and I'm like, okay, and it's just off the track. And just off the track is, you know, it starts to, you know, there's an embankment, and then I'm like, just only slightly off the side of the track, or the trail, and then I fucking slip, right? Mm. And about 10 meters is a 100-meter drop, right? And I slide through this kind of loose soil, mud, you know, kind of thing. And my feet hit this boulder, and the boulder was, you know, probably, I don't know how big you would sort of describe it, maybe not as wide as a fucking 50-inch television. It was a big boulder, and it's gone over the edge. You know, luckily there wasn't anyone down there, so that's another thing, you know, is it, you know, I'm putting others at risk, being a dick. But yeah, it was terrifying, and then I managed to sort of claw my way back up again, and then my German friend just went, that could have been bad. It didn't fucking save me. You know what I mean?
Scheiße.
I mean, God, you know, let go of the war, man. Just get over it, you know? but no, but natural like it was, selection. I think he was as shocked as I was. But no, you know, like that was my experience of putting myself in danger. And, you know, like if there had been trails down the bottom that's putting people in danger. I didn't mean to. I didn't know the boulder was there until I, you know, made contact with it. But just for the fucking pursuit of a photo. And there's been obviously countless accounts of people dying, people getting electrocuted or fucking, you know, selfie influencers falling off, you know, Grand Canyon and being dicks and all that kind of, you know, all in the pursuit of getting that photo. So what, Mark, for you, just quickly, what's your experience of a time when you've put yourself at risk of you know, getting hurt or hurting someone else?
Thing is, I only realised I was in danger looking back on it quite some time later, because northern New South Wales, as you know, can have some pretty extreme weather.
Mm.
And there was what, and I was always, because this is sort of connected to what you were talking about before, like what line do you have to cross with risk to try and get a photo that's like a little bit different or worthwhile, special maybe. I shot sunset and storms like pretty much every afternoon after work, because there was a period where there was seemed to always be a storm in the afternoon. Yeah. It came in with such regularity, but there was one particular afternoon where it was getting close to like apocalyptic flood time, where the really big part of the weather system was starting to come through, and it was preceded by probably the more violent part of the weather actually came through in the first front. And I decided when I got home, I need to make my way out somewhere like a little bit safe before it becomes dangerous to start heading out. So I drove out from Casino just down the road towards the next small town, and the wind, about 100 metres down the road, the wind was picking up so much and the rain was just going sideways and the sky was like virtually green with that really apocalyptic kind of colour grade. The kind color that green. Like the kind that if you took a photo of it, you feel like you needed to take the saturation down because otherwise people wouldn't believe you. And I got out onto the road and thought, this is going to be the one time where I use my lightning detect system. And I put my camera on the tripod outside of my car and parked my car. And as I got back into the car, it just got ridiculously windy. It blew the tripod with the camera on right over into my car.
Oh.
And then I was like, fuck, okay, I'm calling this. And then got in the car to drive back. And by the time I got back, about three trees have fallen across the road, the major road going into the town.
Mm.
And I thought, well, do I go around this tree? Because someone else is probably thinking the same thing on the other side of the tree. And so I said, well, I'll creep around the tree. The person on the other side had a different tactic. They thought, get through as quickly as possible. And they ended up in the ditch. On my side of the road, through the ditch. They somehow bounced out of the ditch and ended up on the road again.
Mm.
But I was just left there halfway around the tree like, I nearly witnessed death for the first time.
It could have been you.
It could have easily been me.
Yeah.
But worse would have been if I accidentally clipped them and they had gone into the house that was not far from the ditch.
Yeah, so moving on to Anthony. So you were basically, that was a fearful, scary moment for you, Mark. So moving on to Anthony, have you ever had a situation where you've shat your pants? Well, actually, in relation to photography.
I was shooting video for a wedding.
Bronze.
So I wasn't the photographer for the wedding. It was down at Currumbin. It was 4 or 5 years ago. And they were doing some work where the wall is there, like sort of leading down towards the rock, whatever it's called. Mm. And the whole area beside the wall was fenced off with signs saying, danger, don't go over the thing. But it was late in the afternoon and the sun was setting and the photographer was on the other side of the wall capturing the bride and groom up on top of the rock wall. And I was trying to get a silhouette shot from the other side shooting the video. So I, to get a better vantage point, went in under the fence. And as I did that, the sand below me just gave way like quicksand, and I luckily was able to grab my camera and tripod and hold it above my head because I was waist deep
in sand, so you went straight
under the
in.
Rocks.
Yeah.
I went under the rocks, all dressed in black. So when I came out, I looked like snowman.
Yeah.
And I've got the bride and groom calling out because they heard me making some weird noises. I went under the sand.
We don't have seals in Australia.
They're calling out.
Do you have seals here?
Yeah,
yeah.
Down in
we do Tassie. Have seals in Australia.
You don't Neil, you're in Victoria. You don't know Neil the seal?
Never met him.
Occasionally they get seals up here, but anyway.
No, it's like a thing in Tasmania. There's like there's one seal. He keeps coming into this town and terrorizing the town.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He keeps laying on people's like front door, like front.
Yeah, yeah. So that was, you know, like you could have got injured or you could have died.
It was my own fault for not reading the signs.
Yeah.
I mean, another time, not that it was dangerous, but I was up at Curtis Falls at Mount Tamarind.
Oh, yeah.
And there's that little vantage point there where everybody shoots the waterfall.
Yeah, and you can climb over the thingy.
You can climb. You don't even need to climb. You just walk around the fence.
You do.
And I wanted to get a shot looking through the water.
Back, on the wet rocks.
Back at the people on the wet rocks. So I did that.
Oh.
And I went in there and everything got wet. Yeah. My camera and me.
Yeah.
And then when I walked back out and I was casually packing all my gear away and there was this little girl and her mother there looking at the waterfall. And the little girl sort of turned to her mother and said, "Mummy, that man can't read." Because the little girl could read the sign.
Kids
that says,
are brilliant, aren't
do
they?
Not go through here. And there's a picture of a person with a big red cross through it. So do not do that.
I love the
to
fact.
To you, that means love, good photo this way.
Yeah, I love the fact that a seven-year-old had more ethical and moral insight.
Absolutely. And the mother just went, "Yes, that's right. He can't." As she looked at me.
Double burn.
And so, then you proceeded to pretend to speak Italian.
I didn't say a word.
Did you go, "I'm not from this country"?
I just packed up my gear and walked away.
And I don't know what a man with a cross, I don't know.
With your tripod between your legs.
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, God. And off I went. All right. So have you got anything you want to add to that, Benny? Any scary stories?
No, I don't really have any scary stories. I could not add to that.
Well,
maybe I need to shoot more.
This has been our first inroad into the world of podcasting, so I hope that from a listener's perspective it's been mildly to moderately enjoyable, amusing, funny, shocking and or downright shit. Tune in next time. We're gonna be posting this up hopefully if we're all happy with it. But yeah, I mean it's gonna be a little bit rough around the edges at the start.
Yep.
we'll have more content and we're gonna have a lot more structure, and we're also gonna, as we said at the start, we're gonna get some people on to have interviews, and we'll talk about gear and we will do some funny stories of photographers. Anyone want anything else to add to that?
Yeah,
boys?
Well, we're also not just well, we're looking at doing video as well, recording this and put us on YouTube. For now, it's probably just going to be an audio sort of thing. So if we do have a YouTube, we'll probably discuss this later or some other day. But we could still put these audio versions up, and then when we do video, you can watch us talk about it.
Yeah, and it'll give people something in the future to randomly walk up on the street and abuse us with.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And the other thing is, because it's photography, it kind of gives us the opportunity to show you the things that we're showing each other. Because I listen to a lot of podcasts by watching stuff, and when they show you, I'm like, oh, that's great context. But when it's just the audio, it's like, I have no clue.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know that photo with that guy when he was jumping over the... Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. I can't even imagine it, to be honest.
Good point, good point.
And especially if we have guests on, we can kind of show people the photos from the guest.
Yeah.
So you can kind of get an idea, because we'll have different types of guests, from street photography to car photography to landscape, a lot of locals. So you get to see, you know, what type of people or what type of talents down here, what type of people, what people like to shoot generally down here. And be able to explore all avenues of photography, I guess.
Yeah.
Especially around this area.
I'm looking forward to having someone on that's, you know, an avid photography of cheese rolling down a hill.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, I love that jam.
That video was fantastic. It was the guy who like absolutely yeeted it at that cheese rolling chase championship thing, whatever it is. And he was just
did
like,
he win though? Didn't
vanished
he?
Behind no, the house.
He didn't win.
He was in front. And that's, then he's just lost it.
It was like a skiing accident
time,
without the ice.
Yeah.
Like most of the time you don't need 20 frames per second uncompressed RAW, but that's one time where you would want every single moment.
He thought he was safe after that. The second cartwheel, but then when he went up in the air.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, the rebound.
It was all over.
Well, he'll be on next week.
But final thoughts from me. just carrying on from what Darren said, definitely, I think, a little bit more structure. This has been a really good practice in how long it takes us to talk about some
things. Well, we still want to keep this very candid and very natural. And like one of the parts of the reasons why we even suggested doing a podcast is we've sat around before and just talked for like an hour of photography, and somehow we riff off each other quite well. I don't know how we did here, so let us know in the comments. Oh, there's no comments on anyway,
but it's like, a bit different having microphones in front of our faces. Yeah,
especially because we have to like, if I might, you can't hear that, so you know, you have to be, you can't be too animated. Mark, keep your mouth with it.
I've been learning this again.
So like I feel like it's putting this, making sure it stays casual and friendly. We don't want it to be.
Yeah, it's got to be fun for us as well.
Yeah, we don't want it to be, you know, boring BBC type stuff. Like we want to. Yeah, that's why we're going to get different people on doing different type of things, and keep hopefully, keep it fresh, and hopefully they're funny or something.
All right. Well, thank you, guys, you. For a wonderful experience, and tune in. We'll probably be doing this in, I don't know actually, is it in a couple of weeks or something? Yeah. So we'll probably be, and as we say, it'll be a lot more structured, and it won't be like a skid mark on the right. No, we're talking car photography.
I
was just surprised by the number of times you said scenic rim and resisted making.
I was going to do it, but
that's old stuff. You've got to move on from those puns and jokes, and
you know. They don't hear anything behind
Fading
the scenes.
Fading out now.
All right. Well, thank you, and take care, and look after yourself, and goodbye.
See you guys.
See ya. Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.